John Wheeler once made this quote. He's a physicist who actually studied with Niels Bohr. And he said, "There is no law except the law that there is no law." We're looking at a lawless law. We're looking at a new kind of game that's being introduced by Heisenberg's principle of uncertainty that is so bizarre and so difficult to understand that it got almost all of the physicists that were alive, there were around 100 now around 1927, to come together at a hotel, the Hotel Metropole in Brussels, Belgium. It was the first Solvay conference. Now, Solvay was an industrialist. I forgot what country he was from, but he had enough money and he was interested in all these questions that he sponsored this first Solvay conference. And this was in 1927. And all the luminaries of physics were actually there. Born was there. Werner Heisenberg was there. Some new guys that we're going to talk about a little later were also there. Max Planck was there. Louis de Broglie was there. Of course, Albert Einstein was there. And so all of these guys were there to debate this whole thing. And so now the debate began. And the first to enter the ring was Louis de Broglie. And he argued that the waves that Schrödinger had discovered the equation for, that he had first discovered, were real. And he also said, well, it's certainly also a wave of probability, but it's nevertheless a wave anyway. But it's there. It's real. It's real. It's real. And you can imagine how he was received. Most of the physicists sat there and decided that something was wrong with that. And they were wondering what he was going to say next. And then de Broglie says, and the particle is real. And the wave is guiding the particle. And that's what's really what's going on. And the physicists sat and listened again, and they didn't like that at all. Somehow the idea of that bothered them. And so they voted against it. Now, to vote against an idea in physics is very simple. You just don't say anything when the idea is presented. You don't ask any questions. You just ignore the guy. So that's what happened. De Broglie later, a year later, abandoned his so-called pilot waves theory, where the wave is guiding the particle, even though it was going to be picked up later on by David Bohm. We'll talk about that a little later. But nevertheless, this was the idea that was rejected by the faculty. After that, after de Broglie spoke, then came Born and Heisenberg, who at that time were working together, and presented her paper on probability and the probability interpretation of the waves. There were no particles anymore, just probability patterns. And Heisenberg had already said how particles seemed to come into existence. And even though people didn't like the idea, they more or less felt that this was probably in the right direction. Well, after all of this, there was one guy who hadn't spoken yet, who sat in the audience listening, just listening, just listening, not even piping up with a peep of a question. His name, of course, was Albert Einstein, and he had never before actually heard Bohr's new idea on the so-called wave-particle duality, which was then coming up, and what Bohr had called complementarity. We'll talk about that a little later on. But nevertheless, these new ideas were just listened to. And finally, at the end of all this, he began to talk. He got up and he said a few things. He rose from his seat. He looked at the assembly and he says, "Entschuldigen mir, excuse me, I have to apologize for not going deeper into this quantum mechanics, but nevertheless, I would like to make some general remarks." And then he said that the following had to be the case. He was imagining an experiment. He asked them to consider the following. "This is a very simple thought experiment. which you can think about, I want you to imagine a particle that is traveling along. And we understand from the quantum physics that this particle doesn't travel along as a particle, but it exists like a wave, which, like a stone dropped into a pond, makes the waves, and the wave travels out in all directions at the same time, just like the wave from a stone dropped in a still pond. And I want you to imagine that the wave keeps going and going and going. And in back of one section of the pond, there is a dish, a little dish which is going to capture the wave. Okay? I want you to imagine this. And however, when the dish captures the wave, the wave doesn't just hit the whole dish at once and make a splash on all of the dish at once. It arrives only at one little point on the dish and makes a boom. What happened to the wave? How did it go from a wave to a boom? How did it go from the wave to the particle? What made it do that? How did it suddenly collapse? This can't make any sense, because how can it change from wave to particle? This is a big hemisphere. It could hit anywhere. How that made it do that? And everybody sat around and realized that nobody knew. Nobody knew how a wave changed into a particle. Now, Heisenberg had said, when you observe it, it changes. But the dish seemed to be doing the observing. Where was the human being in all of this? And then somebody piped up, probably not paid attention to, and said, well, you know, you got to look at the dish to see where it lands. And people heard that. Yeah, you know, you got to look at the dish to see where it lands. But probably people just thought, no, the dish made it happen. And this led to the whole idea that somehow, if you make an experiment, and the experiment is big enough, it could collapse the waves into particles, and thus became this whole other notion that somehow there was something going on in the detection apparatus which made things change. At any rate, what this led to has not been resolved. It's still going on as a debate in the world of physics today. We still don't know fully if there is an out there, independent of what's going on in here. As far as we can tell, somewhere along the line where the buck finally stops is with an observer who has to make the observation. And if that observer doesn't make the observation, even though there's that dish in the pond, the wave would be all over the dish in the pond and wouldn't make a pop pop until somebody actually looks at the dish. And a little later on, I'm going to tell you about some experimental facts that have been observed involving, of all things, parapsychology, which may be telling us that this is going on. I'm not going to tell you this is definite. I'm just going to tell you it's suggestive. And as we get into that area, we're going to be getting into the whole relationship of mind to matter in the human body as we begin to look at how all of this applies to consciousness. So stay tuned for Session 3, The Mind in the Body and What Consciousness Does. See you later.
This concludes Session 2. Of Dr. Quantum Presents, A User's Guide to Your Universe with Fred Allen Wolf. Our program continues with Session 3.